Ephesians 3, verses 10 through 13. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now, Paul started this interruption in verse 1 when he says, "For this reason, I, Paul," and he's going to come back now and continue what he was saying in the next verse, verse 14. If you have your Bible open, you can see it there. "For this reason, I bow my knees." And he is going to tell them how he prays. But now that he's mentioned himself as the prisoner of the Lord, he wants them to marvel not at his being a prisoner, but at the great gift that has been given to him to participate in the work of God. And to marvel at the great glory that God is producing in them through his imprisonment, so that they will not be troubled at his imprisonment. But, as he says, "For this reason I bow my knees, that they may focus entirely on this glorious prayer that he's about to start in verse 14. And then when he starts in chapter 4 saying, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling," he doesn't want them focusing on the trouble that has come upon himself for their sake. He wants them focusing on the worthiness of their calling and how the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, wants them to walk, wants them to live. So he's getting out of the way any difficulty they might have, any losing heart, to use the language of verse 13, that they might have at his tribulations for them. And the last piece is the piece that we have today, verses 10 through 13, when he says, "Don't you know that one of the reasons that the mystery is being revealed to the Gentiles, one of the reasons that Paul has this ministry of revealing the mystery to the Gentiles is so that as God works out what he is doing in the church, angels will see what God is doing and praise God, say, 'Behold the multicolored wisdom of God.'" And of course, the multicolors has lots to do in the Bible. There is the rainbow that God uses as a covenant sign of how he himself is going to bear the penalty for man's sin, so that he doesn't have to destroy all men, that all who are in Christ who has borne that penalty will not be destroyed as man was in the flood, and as shall be, they shall be in the lake of fire. Also, we see this again with the rainbow. In Revelation, and Ezekiel and Genesis, you have these multicolors. And so, this is both saying, yes, the wisdom of God displays itself in many different ways, but it's also, describing this connection between heaven and earth in which the wisdom of God is shown in the redemption of sinners. And he says, angels are going to see what God does for you, Ezekiel. And for you, Sophia, as God, Sophia, look at me. Look at me. As God works in you, and day by day in the word and prayer at home, and week by week in the word and the prayer, and then when you are able to partake, but even now without partaking, you can observe the supper week by week in the church, that as God brings us to faith in Jesus and grows us in Jesus and at last has made us to be like Jesus, that God is displaying his multicolored wisdom, even to the angels, that the eternal purpose of God, this mystery that we heard in the last passage that was hidden in God before anything was, and was the reason he created all things through Christ Jesus, as that is accomplished in Christ Jesus, the angels will praise God. That's a huge privilege and glory for us, that we would get to be the reason that holy angels praise God. And then he says, in whom, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness. And that's towards others. You say, well, if angels are going to be praising God for what he is accomplishing in our lives, there's no reason to be embarrassed before others. As we think about what God is doing, as we think about the glory that will come to God for it, let us not be embarrassed or afraid in front of other believers, but we can be bold in Christ Jesus. But not just bold in Christ Jesus towards others, but also, and access with confidence. You remember in chapter 2 when he was describing how the Lord has reconciled us in Jesus because he has given us both the same access to God. And so when we come to God in worship and we have access with confidence, when we come not cowering, yes, trembling at his greatness and his holiness, but not cowering, trembling in awe, but confident towards him, that when we come to God with confidence in worship, in our access that we have to him, when our confidence in the access that we have to him have towards him is something that we have in common with the others that whom we are coming, and I'm coming through Jesus and I have confidence and I can look over at you and know that, or just know that you are beside me in the worship and know that you are coming to God through Jesus and therefore you have confidence, that God is much glorified. So God is glorified in the world and God is glorified in the church and God is glorified in the angels all through what he's doing in us. And he says, if that's what God is doing, don't lose heart when I write the prisoner of Christ Jesus in chapter 3 and verse 1. Don't lose heart when I write the prisoner of the Lord in chapter 4, verse 1. Instead, consider the glory that God is giving himself through you. And that's why he says, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Our troubles are not just something we have to get through so we can get to glory later. Our troubles are part and parcel of how God is glorifying himself. And in our lives, they are accomplishing the glory. So that he can say, I did all this even through Paul being in prison. And whatever trouble you have in your life, today, this week, whenever the great trouble comes, my dear children, it is your glory and the glory of those whom the Lord brings to faith and grows in Christ through what he does in your life, so that the angels will say, look at how what she went through, what Victoria went through, or what John is going through, is bringing to God glory. Therefore, let us not lose heart, either in our troubles or in the troubles of other believers. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this portion of your word. Thank you for teaching us and reminding us that in this world we will have trouble. Thank you for reminding us of the glory that Christ gets before others and in the church and even before the holy angels, by what he does in our lives. And we pray that you would keep us living through faith in him, that we might have that boldness towards others, that when we come to you to avail ourselves of the access that we have in Jesus, that we might do so with confidence in him, and that this eternal purpose that you have had in him would be fulfilled in him. For we ask it in his name, and your children here say, amen.